Just a quick reminder, hey, if you are a guest with us today, would you do us a favor? Go to our website, nhcc4all.com, and go to the Connect tab, and would you use that place there to fill out a connection card for us and let us know who you are and how we can follow up with you. And thank you for being a part of our worship today and keep you up to date with what's going on in the life of New Hope. We'd love to do that. Well, as we jump in today, we're going to finish up our series as we've talked about having an emotionally healthy spirituality. It's been a kind of a deep series. It's been rich, but it's really been one that's challenged us. And I hope that it's been challenging for you, and it's been insightful and educational and at the same time, and encourage you in your faith, as I know it has me, as I've been working each week to prepare this. And our last part today might be one of the toughest parts of the whole journey. And to get us off on that, get us running, I want to let you know, at my house, in the side yard, in my front yard, I have this hydrangea plant. And I love a hydrangea plant. Unfortunately, it only has one bloom on it, which is so disappointing because I think their blooms are so pretty. And what I've learned about it is that it doesn't have the right pH mix in the soil, and so it doesn't bloom very well, and I need to address that. So in time, right? Well, you know, the thing about God is that God created us to bloom, if you will, with being rooted in that which is good for us. And that idea is something that the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 talks about in his prayer for the church at Ephesus. And so I want to read that today. And if you have a Bible there with you, or maybe on your phone or somehow, and you want to follow along, feel free to do that. I want to read Ephesians chapter 3. And I want to read, again, Paul's prayer out of verse 17 and verse 18. Paul prays, he writes, I ask that Christ will live in your hearts through faith. As a result of having strong roots in love, I ask that you'll have the power to grasp love's width and length, height and depth, together with all believers. Paul's prayer understands, I believe, that love is at the core of our growth. And so that's really the premise of what I want to talk about today, is that I think every Christian can grow as an emotionally mature adult who loves well. But that growth comes through faith in God by His grace, and with us taking responsibility for how we give love and how we receive love. Both are important. And we could talk all over the place about, man, how do we love the people that are around us, and how should we receive that love? And I want to get to what I think perhaps is the core of that point, and talk about two pieces that connect together that are at the core of us taking responsibility for how we give and receive love. And so here's the first part of that. If you're taking notes, today's probably a great day to do that with a pad and paper or on your laptop, whatever you're doing. But let me give you the first responsibility that I believe falls on us, given to us as a response of our faith and worship. And that is that, you know, a way we take responsibility in love is to look at each person as an image bearer of God. How do we look at the people that are right there in front of us, or that we're talking to on the phone? How do we look at that person? The way we want to look at that person is an image bearer of God. And I find it right out of Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. If you're in your Bible, you want to turn there, go for it. And first chapter of the Bible, right? Book of Genesis, talking about in the beginning. It says, God created humanity in God's own image. In the divine image, God created them, male and female, God created them. So what we do is we look at another person, and we look at them as someone who uniquely reflects the handiwork of God and has been created to bear that beauty in the world. And so that means we look at men and women as worthy of dignity and equal respect, regardless of any life choices or things that have happened in life, has no bearing on any of the outside parameters, just simply the fact that they are an image bearer of God. So we don't categorize people. I know we place categories, and I get all that, but if we're looking at someone as an image bearer of God, then we're not going to replace people in categories such as, well, I like this person better because their ethnicity or their race or because of their political stance or their criminal record or lack thereof, their education level or even their income. And the list can go on and on, right? We don't categorize people based on those in other areas. We may be tempted to look first at those things because that's something we can grasp sort of onto and feel maybe a connection or an affinity towards someone because of that. But we don't differentiate and categorize them. Instead, we look at a person and we see that they have inherent value and thus they're worthy of being respected. Do you want to do me a favor? If you're at home today and you're with some family members, or maybe you're just by yourself, which is fine too, would you do me a favor? Would you take a moment and maybe somebody that's across the room or sitting next to you, maybe they're on the couch or a chair, and would you just turn to them and just look at that person, and would you just say their name and say, you are an image bearer of God. Drew, you are an image bearer of God. Hope, you are an image bearer of God. That sounds pretty good. Doesn't it feel good to hear that? Regardless of anything else in life right now, you have dignity and value and a worthy respect because you are an image bearer of God. That's a pretty powerful way to look at somebody that's in front of you or look at another person or talk to another person to interact with them. You see, I believe an emotionally maturing adult actually does look beyond the surface and sees first and foremost that person being an image bearer of God. Now I've got a great question. You love those why questions? I got a great why question. Why is it so important to do that well? Why? I believe it's because the way we look at people influences the way we think about other people. And that is so critically important. When we take responsibility and we love one another for being rooted in Christ, then one of the ways that is so core to how we think about another person is that that person, they have their own rights. On July 4th, 1776, kind of an important day in our nation's history and story. But on that particular day, the original 13 United States of America declared unanimously in the Declaration of Independence, says that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And these states, their representatives, as they work together, they believe that that very principle was ordained of God because it's grounded in the Scriptures, specifically Genesis, as I talked about, but other places as well. And the truth really is that we've all been created with the right to make choices that can cultivate good in our own lives and lives of people around us and in the world itself. And for that to happen, for that good to happen, people really do have to have the freedom to make choices that will bring that to pass. I mean, think of Jesus, for example. Just look in the Gospels for a moment. You know, Jesus welcomed men and women to follow him. You remember some beginning of the Gospels where Jesus is inviting these disciples to come and to follow him, and he gives them the choice to come, and he teaches and gives folks the choice to listen and to follow, to go where he's going and to live according to his teaching. But he also gives them the choice to say, you know what, I'm going to turn and walk away because this is just too difficult. I can think of another example, Mary and Martha, if you know that story of the sisters of Lazarus, when Jesus is at their house and Mary says she decides that she wants to be right there at the presence of Jesus where he's talking and teaching there at the home. And Martha, she's in the kitchen and fulfilling that responsibility for hospitality in the home and in their culture. And then, of course, you know, she gets upset with Mary and goes to Jesus. And Jesus says, you know, look, you have that choice. She has this choice. The way that Jesus loves them both is, in a sense, his very core is honoring that right as a human being to make a choice. Judas chose to follow, then he chose to betray. Peter chose to follow, then he chose denial 3 times during the passion, and then he repents and he believes and he follows Jesus. Think of the thieves crucified next to Jesus. On one side, one's mocking Jesus. On the other side, the other chooses to believe and have faith. All over the place, you see Jesus not controlling their choice making. He loved them by honoring their personal freedom in their space to have their own preferences and to communicate those and to act on those. And so for us, I think, you know, no, Jesus is the best example that we ought to use to guide our life. And so if that really is the case, then I think it helps us to go, look, if Jesus loved people that way, then I need to be doing likewise. I want to honor another person's rights, but I want to do so with healthy boundaries. And that's where I want to add that angle in here today, because that's critically important for us to talk about. And I think this is where good ethics and good morals and justice are important, because they're boundaries for us as we go about loving those other people. And let me give you, for example, I'll give you just a few examples on this that hopefully will hit home. I know they do for me, and so I thought they might for some of us. One of the rights that we have is the right to disagree. I know that I'm not going to see everything the way that you see it, and I don't expect that you're going to see everything the way that I see it. But we both have the right to see things differently, to have that personal freedom to actually disagree. We don't have the right to attack each other physically or verbally because we disagree. When we do that, we actually are acting in an immoral way and an unjust way, infringing upon the right of the other person. And it actually contradicts James 4:11 as well. It's more than one place, but here it says, do not speak evil of one another. You know, when Jesus talks about how we ought to treat one another the way that we want to be treated in return. And so we have the right to disagree, but we need to handle that in a way that respects one another and says, I believe you have dignity and value, and I'm going to respect you still in this disagreement. Woo, right? I know, that's a challenging one. That's something that we've seen in our nation over the last few months, that as a nation, we've struggled with. But it really goes back even much further than that, and of course, we probably all know that. But you know, being rooted in Christ's love is to be bound to love one another, not just by seeing them as an image bearer of God, but also looking at them as a person who has rights. Let me give you another one. We have the right to be taken seriously. Do you have somebody that you struggle to take seriously? You go, you know what? Everything they say, I struggle to believe. They never take anything seriously. I just don't know. It's just so hard to take them seriously. But every person has the right to be taken seriously. It doesn't mean that we have to believe and live according to everything they say, but they have that right as a valuable person who has dignity to be taken seriously in what they say. And a way that we can practice that, super simple, and it's one you've heard me talk about many times already if you've been with us and over the last several weeks, and that is by listening to understand. Listening to a person to understand what they're trying to communicate instead of listening just so that you can have your time to be understood. You know, we don't take people very seriously if we just listen to them and then just jump right in and say, yeah, but here's how it is, right? That's just listening to be understood, and that's not loving the person that's infringing on their right as a person made in the image of God and worthy of respect and dignity. Well, here's a fun one. This probably causes as much heartache as anything, and that is talking about mistakes. We all have the right to make mistakes. Sometimes I know that what caused me the most frustration is when I know I've made a mistake, and that mistake has caused someone else grief. It just frustrates me, and it causes me heartache and grief. But we have the right to make mistakes. You know, God has given us grace in our mistakes. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for that. And this cross that we have in our sanctuary today is a reminder of the grace that God gives, and that Jesus did not come to condemn, but to save the world. And so, by loving each other, we want to give each other grace to make mistakes. Holding someone to a flawless standard is a flawed expectation. Let me say that again. Holding someone to a flawless standard is a flawed expectation. You will never be completely happy if you hold people to a flawless standard. We have to give each other room to make mistakes. And when that happens, look, we're not ugly criticizing each other when we make a mistake. We want to remember, look, I've made my share of mistakes, and this is not the first mistake they've made, and so I'm going to give grace and give them room in this mistake. And how can we work through this mistake towards something that's even, hopefully, better than where we were? So I'm going to forgive if I get hurt and work towards restoration and moving forward. We all have the right to make mistakes, but we need to give each other room to grow and learn from them as well. I told you this is going to be some good stuff, hard stuff here this morning. But this is the kind of stuff I think that, like, not just our nation, but as a communities and going back to work or being at work, you know, and working with your coworkers and being with families, that everybody is wrestling and struggling and trying to work through anxieties and their own opinions that they're very adamant about. And there's just a lot going on right now in life. We need to give each other room to make mistakes and to have our own opinions and to disagree, but right, do it in healthy ways. Let me give you another one. We have the right to be given the benefit of the doubt. Let me ask you, see if this rings true. Can you think of a time when you've treated someone poorly because you assumed a reason for why they did something or they said something and that, you know, that offended you in some way, and so you ran with that assumption and ended up holding that hurt against them? I've done it. I would imagine probably many of us have done that before a time or two. But here's the thing, if I'm going to love people well and take responsibility for loving well, then by grace I need to take responsibility and give them the benefit of the doubt. And so what might that look like? I think it could be pretty simple as going to the person, saying to them, here's what I experienced, here's what I felt in response to that experience, and it was because I assumed the following. Is my assumption right or wrong? And then we have to use James 1:19, which says we ought to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger, it doesn't bring about the righteousness of God. And so we listen. And as we listen, we also have the right to be told the truth. Other people they have the right to hear the truth from us. You know, I think often lying about the truth feels like the safer option because we're trying to protect ourselves, but it's really not the healthier option. Lying doesn't help us grow up in love, and it doesn't help us learn from our mistakes either. To learn and grow, we have to be honest. And thus the scripture says that through speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. That comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Once again, Paul says, look, growth is rooted in the truth. Growth is rooted in love. And so here's my question. Now that you know these truths, now that you have heard these tidbits of truth, and probably not something that you've never heard before. You've probably heard in one way or another. You have the right to choose, don't you? Now that you know the truth, what will you do with it? We all have the right to choose. And God loves us and gives us the freedom to make those choices. My hope is that we'll all choose to be rooted in Christ's love and then grow as an emotionally healthy, maturing adult. Whew. Well, today is also Communion Sunday, which is one of the great Sundays of the month. Every Sunday is good, but today is Communion Sunday, and so we want to celebrate that today as part of our worship. And it makes perfect sense that we would do that as we are talking about the love of God that has been taught to us and shown to us in Jesus Christ. And so we come to the communion table today, and I know it looks a little different than it would normally if when we think of past times we've celebrated communion, but in trying to be healthy and safe, we are using prepackaged communion, and so I'm using that here this morning in our worship. When Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples, he took bread, and Scripture says that he broke it, and he said, take and eat, for this is my body, which is given up for you. When supper was ended, Jesus took the cup, and he blessed it. And he said, take and drink from this cup. For this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. As we eat this bread and we drink this cup in remembrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we proclaim that he truly is not only our salvation, but he is our hope. And when we're rooted in him, we grow. Father, I ask that your Spirit would bless these gifts, that as we receive them in this place and at home or wherever we are at, that you would bless them, that they would be for us a means of grace that would continue to grow us up, to not just be emotionally healthy or adults, but continue to grow spiritually and physically and relationally and mentally. Lord, continue to shape us at the core of our being and every part of who we are by the power of your grace at work within us. May you bless these elements today. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.